Today on the Passive Study, our Bible lesson is entitled, How the Devil Attacks Christians. How the Devil Attacks Christians. Let us turn, if you have your Bibles today, and I hope you do, to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to all of you listening today, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10 down to verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the blessed right of righteousness, as your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplication for all saints. Now, we know that the devil has many devices in his arsenal. And the Word of God tells us we are not to be ignorant of his devices in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, let's turn there together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 11, the Word of God says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So we are to understand how the devil attacks Christians. Amen. We can tell how the devil attacks Christians by studying the armor of the Lord gives us to fight and protect ourselves in our spiritual battles. Based upon the articles of spiritual armor, we see that the devil will attack with, first of all, lies. Lies. And that's why we're told that we're to, our loins are to be girt about with the truth. Remember Jesus said, I am the truth? Remember he said in his prayer to the Father, to sanctify them through thy truth, the word is truth, in John 17, 17. Jesus also said, ye shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall make you free. In John 8, verse 32. One of the greatest weapons used by the devil is lies. He tries to get you to believe his lies, like he got Eve to believe his lie in Genesis chapter 3. You see, he lies to you about the words of God. He lies to you about the Spirit of God. He lies to you about the child of God, and it goes on and on and on. He lies. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. If he can get you to believe any lie, and then he can keep you from believing the truth in that area of your life. The only way to fight back is with absolute truth. So your loins need to be girt about with truth. Amen? Now, we see that the devil will attack with not only lies, but sins. Sins. That's why we are to have on the breastplate of righteousness, you see. When you get saved, Jesus takes up residence inside of you so that he can live his life of righteousness in you. Notice what it says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, we are to work out our salvation as he works inside of us. And when we yield to sin, we are not protected by the breastplate of his righteousness. And you know what happens then? Huh? You know what happens then? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. You see, sin weakens and defeats you in your spiritual battles. The way to fight back is with Christ's righteousness, which you and I got as believers the instant the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and nothing else. We got Christ's righteousness. Amen. We're to put on that breastplate of righteousness, amen, to fight against sin, amen. We also know that not only will the devil attack you and I with lies and sins, but also fears, fears. That's why we're told that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, see? The devil discourages us from witnessing with the gospel by fear of rejection, fear of ridicule, fear of confrontation, fear of being inadequate, inadequacy, fear of our past, and so forth. Amen. He'll throw at you every fear in the book why you should not witness. And the thing we need to remember when we sense that fear and we feel that fear, that it's not of God. God didn't put that spirit of fear in you. Amen. It's the devil working overtime in your life and my life. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 7, the Word of God says this: For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But notice what he has given us. But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That's what he gives us. That fear is of the devil. Thus, we are talked out of witnessing. Before we ever get started, amen, he uses fear. They're going to ridicule me. They're going to get in my face. We're going to have a big argument. Or I don't know enough. I'm inadequate to be able to witness to someone. Or how can I witness to someone because of my sinful past. You see, every fear in the book he'll bring up. When our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we are ready to preach the gospel whenever and wherever the Lord leads. You see, our command from God is to go. To go. And the devil will throw every fear of us to keep us from going. And the reason he does that is, he knows he doesn't have us, but he doesn't want us to go and win more to Christ. Because he wants to take a whole bunch of people to hell with him. See? That's right. And you and I, you know what a roadblock is. You're driving your car and the road's been blocked off for one reason or another. You and I are roadblocks to hell for people. We're to warn them. You know, the bridge is out. You're going to fall off and go into hell. You know, hell's coming up. Hell's just around the bend if you don't get saved. Amen? So we've seen that we're talking about to put on the whole armor of God, and by looking at the pieces of armor that we're to put on, this is how the devil comes at us, attacks us with lies. So we should be gird our loins with the truth. He comes after us with sins. That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. He attacks us with fears to keep us from witnessing. That's why we need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, he also comes after us with doubts. Doubts. And that's why you need to have on the shield of faith. You see, the enemy of faith is doubt. See? He got Eve to doubt the word of God. Eve, instead of having faith in what God said, Satan planted that seed of doubt, and it grew. See? And that's what the devil will do. He'll plant the seed of doubt. He'll get you to doubt. Is that really what God said? Amen? Can I really believe what God said? Can I really believe, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the word of God says, that I'll be saved, that I can know that I'm going to heaven? Doubt. Doubt. We saw with Thomas. Amen. He doubted that the other apostles had seen the risen Christ. Instead of having faith in what Jesus had told them, that he would rise after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we doubt God, we doubt what he says in his very words. That's not pleasing to God. Amen. And we can't please God if we doubt. We need faith. Amen. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But what does the word of God tell us? Over in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, Even our faith. Even our faith. The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Like a preacher said, our commander-in-chief has defeated the world's commander-in-chief, which is the devil. You already have the victory. Jesus Christ has given you and I the victory. And when you doubt God, you're doubting that we have the victory. You doubt that he's defeated the devil, defeated his dominions and the world system and all of that. So, if the devil can get you to doubt, he can weaken your faith. And when your faith is weak, victory eludes you. So you and I must not doubt God. Remember Peter? He was in the boat, the other disciples, and they saw the Lord. They thought on the water, walking. And they thought it was, you know, a spirit or something, but it was him. And he told Peter to come. Peter was having doubts that it was him. Told him to come. Amen. He had faith. He came. He started to walk on the water. But what happened? Doubt. Because he saw, oh, look at the waves. Look at the wind. He started taking his eyes off the Lord. He doubted the Lord. The Lord could keep him safe on the water. And he started to sink. That's what happens to you and I. Amen. When we start to doubt the Lord, we start to sink. Amen. So if you want victory, you must not, if you want a continually consistent victory in this world against the world, the flesh, and the devil, then don't doubt God. Don't doubt what he said in his words. As we continue, we also see the devil attacks us with thoughts, with thoughts. That's why we're told in that one of the things that we need to put on is the helmet of what? Salvation. You see, getting saved can straighten out your mind. We just saw in that verse of 2 Timothy 1:7 that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power. Amen. Does he not? He gives us power. Amen. What else does he give us? Power. Besides power, he gives us love and a sound mind. You have a sound mind if you're saved. Amen. But the devil's going to try to put thoughts in your mind that you don't have a sound mind. Also, we see what happens to, let's turn over to Mark chapter 5 for a moment. In 5 verse 15, we have the, often referred to as the maniac of Gadara. When he came to Jesus, Jesus cast that spirit, that legion, the demons, devils out of him. And they came to Jesus in Mark 5:15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. That was that maniac of Gadara, who ran around naked, lived in the cemetery. They tried to chain him down, and he broke the chains. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. See, getting saved straightens out your mind. To keep you from getting saved, What does the devil do to your mind? The devil will blind your mind. Will he not? Look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See? So the devil, amen, the devil will mess with your mind, in my mind, will he not, after we get saved. Amen? He wants to mess with your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we read this, "But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." See? You didn't really get saved, he'll say. It's not that simple. Amen? Believing on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That he shed blood and nothing else saves you? No, there's got to be... You've got to do something to be right with God. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. He'll try to mess with your mind. Keep you from getting saved. Amen? He exalts your thoughts against the knowledge of God. Oh, I don't need God. I'm so smart. Amen? But what is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 to 5 say? We read this. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity the every thought to the obedience of Christ." Devil's the one, amen, remember he was anointed cherub, but pride entered in. Said, "I'm going to be like the Most High God. I don't need God. I'm as smart as God." That's what he'll try to do to you and I. These could be wicked thoughts. He could bring wicked thoughts or negative thoughts or emotional thoughts or lustful thoughts. Anything to keep you from thinking about the Lord. So we should live by, amen, what it says over in the book of Philippians in chapter number 4, in Philippians 4, verse 18, it says, or Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen. And then he'll come and try to attack us by words. That's why we need to take with us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does the devil do? He gives you the modern Bibles and take away your sword of the Spirit. When he did that, he made you dependent upon men for their understanding. The Bible tells us, does it not, that we have an anointing that teaches us? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the anointing, we have the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible. We have inspiration whereby we understand. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And look in Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32 with me. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Job 32, 8. In Job 32, 8, the Word of God says this, But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Not only that, we have the Holy Spirit to interpret his words. Look with me in 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20, we read, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Amen. When the devil printed those other Bibles, he printed them without the Spirit's anointing. The Spirit's inspiration and interpretation are not in those Bibles. You must have the sword of the Spirit, which is the King James Bible, in order to fight a spiritual battle. Amen. Oh, yes. The devil is very, very subtle, is he not? And then finally, the devil will attack with distractions. That's why we're told, putting on the whole armor of God, and then, after we've got the armor on, praying always with all prayer. The devil has fixed it in the world, so everything else becomes a priority over prayer. The more technologically advanced we have become in society, the more spiritually powerless we have become in prayer. All this attention to social media, television, internet, email, text messaging, and so forth has robbed the church of its power in prayer. We must get back to praying if we are ever going to stand in the midst of the spiritual battle. Amen. Isn't that true, my dear listeners? The devil attacks. How does he attack? With lies, with sins, with fears, doubts, thoughts, words, distractions. Amen. To understand how the devil attacks Christians, all we have to do is understand the spiritual armor given to us by the Lord. These seven things, including prayer, are given us to fight against the devil's main arsenal of attack. My dear listener, I beseech you to use them well and stand. Yes, stand in the battle. That's all the time we have today on the Pastor Study. I hope you'll join me next time that we come together in the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino. May God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer. And good day.